everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and joining me today as my co-host is Sabina. Hi, Sabina.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
How are you doing tonight?
Good.
How's the weather
good,
out
always.
There in Georgia?
Oh, it's been cold, but kind of okay. Kind of
Yeah, well.
No fun, though.
You can't be as cold as Chicago, so, you know, no fair.
Yeah, I know.
No complaining. Well, we're going to get on to the show because I'm sure the people don't want to hear us talking about weather. Tonight we are so very, very happy to have with us Golden Globe winning actor, producer, director Matthew Modine and producer Adam Rakoff. We all know that Matthew has won many awards and is a well-known actor, producer, director in Full Metal Jacket, Dark Knight Rises, Weeds, the TV series. But if I mentioned everything he's done and won, we'd be here all day. Adam is known for producing award-winning films and new media projects, including Jesus Was a Commie, the Full Metal Jacket Diary iPad app, and audiobook. Matthew and Adam are partners in the production company called Cinco Dedos Películas. Much more on Adam as well, but let's move on to our chat because I do believe they're both on the phone. Adam and Matthew, are you with me?
I'm
Hello,
here.
How are you?
Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. We're very honored to have you with us.
That's right. Go ahead and mention all those credits you don't want to mention.
Yeah. And then the interview would be over.
Yeah. It's a pleasure,
it would take
pleasure
a long
to meet
time.
You both.
Pardon?
It's a pleasure to meet you both.
Thank you.
Likewise.
I just want to mention that Sabina and I are a little bit late to the history of Full Metal Jacket, but we did both watch the movie. And I can't tell you how nerve-wracking it was, to say the least, but there was also funny parts to it, too, so we both enjoyed it very much.
Thank you. It's
You're welcome.
It's a testament to Stanley Kubrick's genius that the film has stood the test of time. It's, 25 years more since the film was made, and it's rare that a film has relevance beyond the release date.
That's so true. I mean, there's not many films that, you know, can mention off the top of your head that has that long ride. But I have to tell you that my husband has watched the movie, he said, at least 15 times. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah.
He loves it. When I told him what I was doing tonight, it was the first time he paid attention to my show.
Wonderful.
Well, Matthew, I loved your imitation of John Wayne, and was that something that was written into the script, or was that something you came up with?
Oh, it was in the book. It was in the book Short Timers by Gus Hasford. Gus was a Marine Corps veteran who was also a brilliant writer, and that was one of his observations about Private Joker, was that he had the ability to do these John Wayne impersonations. There was only one in the script, and because Stanley Kubrick, contrary to the way a lot of people think, was a very improvisational director and was always looking for ways of improving the script. And we were having some difficulty with a scene, and he said, well, let's go to the trailer and talk about it. And this is all in the Full Metal Jacket Diary, by the way. This whole story, but we went to the trailer and he said, you know, what would happen, you know, when you were growing up in Utah if you met somebody like this Adam Baldwin character who was playing Animal Mother, and I said, well, I would do this or I would do that, and you know what would be great is if I could get another John Wayne impersonation into the film. So we worked on the scene, on the script, and I was able to get the line "only after you eat the peanuts" out of my I don't know if I can swear on your
you
on
can
your show,
you so. Can
yeah yeah so That's how we got the second win.
Did that come easily for you? Did you have to practice it a lot?
Well, you know, my father was a drive-in theater manager. And I grew up watching all those John Wayne movies. There were nights at the drive-in where he would have dusk till dawn John Wayne movies. This would be like five John Wayne movies in a row. And, you know, so I grew up watching the Duke in the drive-in movies.
Well, that would be fascinating to be able to see all those movies because of what your father did for a living. You know, the rest of us would have to wait for our parents to bring us to a show.
it was a magical childhood. It really was.
Yeah, to say the least. Now, you said that you understood Pyle, but you were Joker. Would you explain this a little bit more for us?
Well, as I said, because my father was a drive-in theater manager, the drive-ins were going out of the business. The land was worth more than the drive-ins, so they were tearing the drive-ins down. And as a result of that, we had to move quite a bit. I was born in California in Loma Linda, and we moved to Imperial Beach, California, and then we moved to Utah. And while we lived in Utah, we had about 7 different homes. So I went to a lot of different schools, and I, as a result of that, being an itinerant child, you don't have any continuity in your life. And when you're a new student, you find yourself always fighting with somebody from the school who thinks they're bigger and stronger than you. And so there were aspects of that I understood in Pyle's character about being picked on and not fitting in and, you know, doing the best that you can and just not being able to be accepted by the group of people that you were in. So I felt that I understood him in a special way. And as I say in the story, the more that I read, the more that I felt that probably the reason that Stanley Kubrick, as I say, he didn't send a note indicating which role he wanted me to play. But as I continued to read it, I thought, nah, he wants me to play Private Joker. And I'm glad he did.
Definitely. It was a wonderful role. I don't want to give too much away because, of course, we want people to get the Full Metal Jacket Diary and, you know, listen to it because, oh, my gosh, there's just so much in there, so many questions that are answered. But I was wondering, I know that you said you don't take your characters home with you once you leave the set, but how did this role affect you mentally while you were filming it?
Well, the biggest thing was just the amount of time. You know, I moved to England, and before I returned to New York City, which is my home, it was almost 2 years. So I can't compare the experience of working on Full Metal Jacket with any other film that I've ever worked on, for good and bad. But there were so many things that happened in that 2 years. My father had a heart attack. My grandfather died. Chernobyl happened, and there was all the fear of nuclear radiation falling all over Europe and England. My son had just been born, so there was that concern that maybe the radiation from Chernobyl would get into my wife's breast milk and, you know, make our child sick. And there was just so much, and I was young, and I'd been pulled away from the industry and working on the film for so long that there were so many films and opportunities that I was missing out on. But, you know, in the end, it was all worth it. And I mean, I wouldn't be on the phone talking to you today if I hadn't made that journey and had that experience.
Yeah.
Oh, very true.
That's amazing. Yeah, definitely. Well, you definitely did a great job. This is Sabina, by the way.
Hi.
I was wondering, were there any real-life drill sergeants that came to work with you during that filming?
Well, Lee Ermey, that plays Sergeant Hartman, was a real drill instructor, and he had been hired by Stanley Kubrick to be the technical advisor on the film. And a long story short, he ended up taking the role of the actor Tim Colcheri, replacing him and becoming the drill instructor in the film, and he did an extraordinary job.
Yeah, definitely. Now that makes a lot of sense. He made it feel like a real drill sergeant, and he did an amazing job for sure. Now, how accurate was the movie to the real events of the Vietnam War?
Well, that's an interesting conversation to have, and we could have it at length, you know, because there's so much of the fighting that was done was in jungles, but the film takes place in the city of Hue, which is quite different than the jungle fighting. But because it's a Stanley Kubrick film, and Stanley Kubrick was never wanting to limit himself to a simple subject, but rather an idea, a concept, that being, you know, men using violence to solve their problems, and the absurdity of that, and whether it was Dr. Strangelove and the nuclear proliferation, or Spartacus, or in some ways Clockwork Orange, that the violence that man is capable of was extraordinary to Stanley, and I find that it's at the heart of so many of his films.
Do you feel that it's harder to do a movie that's based on real life events?
Well, I'm trying to think of one that's current. I guess we could look at the Fox movie with Steven Carell and Channing Tatum. What's it called? Foxcatcher, right? Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful film with wonderful performances, and I didn't know that much about the DuPont family when I went in to see the film, and after seeing it, I wanted to know more, and it was extraordinary the things that were left out of the story. The boy that Steve Carell. The character that Steve Carell plays as a boy was kicked in the testicles by a horse, and he lost them, and they replaced him with plastic testicles, and as a result he was like a castrati. He had a high pitched voice. He couldn't control his voice. Sometimes he would go into a falsetto, and just that kind of deep emasculation of a character. It was an extraordinary thing that was left out of the film, and it was one of those kind of things that you wonder, like, wow, I wonder why they left that out. So,
right.
But playing a character in a real, you know, like Don Francis that I played in and the band played on. I met Don Francis, and he was an extraordinary man who was one of the early doctors that was responsible for the search and discovery of the AIDS virus, HIV. And you don't just have a responsibility to him and being truthful to his life, but the whole circumstances of that piece of time and in history, you know, in the world history of... you know, so there's a different kind of responsibility. Yes. So the short answer is yes. Yeah. It's harder to play a real person.
Okay. Well, I just found out there was a limited edition of the Full Metal Jacket Diary book. So I was wondering if this is where, Adam, where you came in with the idea for the award-winning iPad app and the audiobook.
Yeah, first, thank you for having us both on your show.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, it was, in fact, you know, I was fortunate enough to meet and have you back in 2005 when the book was launching, and I actually worked for Apple at the time in marketing, and we did a series of talks with Matthew at some of the Apple Store locations where he talked about how the book was designed and made on a Mac. And I just became personally fascinated with the book and with the story that Matthew was telling. And, you know, because it was limited edition, it was only 20,000 copies, and they were all there's actually a laser-etched serial number on the back of every copy. So there really is – it's a real collectible. it's something mm-hmm. that people really cherish and really are happy to have in their you know home libraries. Because of that, though, you know, Matthew talked about how he didn't really want to ever have a second printing or a paperback edition. He wanted those copies to be something that was unique and would, you know, be cherished by people and maybe passed down to the next generation of movie lovers. So as a result, I knew that he didn't want to ever kind of re-release it. But years later, when I left Apple and the iPad had just come out, I kind of got to thinking how this could be a really interesting and unique way to share Matthew's story and his photos with a new audience that maybe didn't get a chance to get the book or couldn't get the book because it was now out of print. So it would be a way to essentially make it available in a new way, but still retain the collectability of those original books. So, I talked to Matthew about the idea, and I'm just so honored and thrilled that he invited me to kind of work with him on these projects and sort of help take his story and, you know, just share it with more people. And I just think it's an inspiring story. It's something that it really tells a unique story about not just what it was like to work with Stanley Kubrick, which is something that I think a lot of people are fascinated by, but also just that it's a story of a journey of, sort of going through life and learning, from, the people around you. And just, it's something that I think not just fans of the film, not just Worf film fans, not just Kubrick fans would appreciate. And I've heard from many people that's the case. People that don't have those interests have listened or have read the book and have really, really enjoyed it. So we're hoping, now that we have this audiobook version that has just come out, we're hoping that will reach even more people that don't have iPads and that, of course, couldn't get the original book.
Yeah, that sounds very fascinating. Makes me want to go out and get that app or at least the audiobook. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. Now, you having worked for Apple, did that make this an easy project for you, and what goes into making an app?
Well, not really. It was a very hard project, and it ended up taking almost as long as I think Matthew took to make the movie, which was almost 2 years from just the first initial kind of sort of brainstorming to the actual release. It was almost 2 years in time. It was, it was something that certainly working for Apple and having contacts there that could help us with the release was helpful. But ultimately, we were really doing something new, something that hadn't been done before. I mean, people had developed apps before, but not like this. This, if people don't know, it's a truly immersive experience where the photos that Matthew took on the set are married to him reading his diary with sound effects and music, and the text is also there, so if you'd like to read along while you're listening, that's also an option. But it sort of creates a new experience that a lot of people have dubbed an appumentary. So it's sort of a cross between an app and a documentary. And I think that's a very interesting idea because there is a role for for premium experiences. I think a lot of people perceive apps to be sort of free, gimmicky things you just kind of play with on your phone or your tablet when you're, when you have time to kill. But I think there's a place for something that's a little more artistic and a little more, immersive that really you can take your time to really enjoy. I mean, this is, hours and hours.
If I can jump in there for a second,
yeah,
Adam.
Yeah,
It did. It coined this new word, appumentary, and the motion picture industry is looking at the Full Metal Jacket Diary iPad app as a aftermarket tool for many of their films. That they look at it and they study it, and see the value that this kind of artwork creation, the potential it has for expanding the motion picture industry experience, and it is an extraordinary thing. I mean, Adam is being modest, but it was clear to Adam that when he started this adventure of creating this thing, that it was going to be as difficult as somebody saying, I'm going to build this thing called an automobile. And it's an idea. It sounds so simple, right? You put a motor on a frame with some wheels and a gearbox, but everything had to be created. Everything had to be written and drawn, and it was an extraordinarily difficult experience. So, I mean, as he says, that, you know, when people think of apps, they think of something that's simple and kind of a toy. And this is really, this is something very mature and very museum worthy. And Adam is one of those geniuses that worked at Apple Computer. And when he had this idea to take on this adventure, Stanley Kubrick, he always wanted to create something that Stanley Kubrick would if he were alive, be able to pick up and look at and say, this is really cool, this is extraordinary, you know, that Stanley was the benchmark.
Yeah, that's true, and I'll just add that I have such admiration for both Matthew and for Stanley, of course, that I never wanted this to feel like something that was exploiting Stanley in any way. I really felt that this needed to be something, as Matthew said, that he would have been proud of, and that his family would be proud of, and that anyone that knew Stanley would feel like this was a really beautiful and truthful story. And the story, I know for a fact, everyone that knows and worked with Stanley really appreciates Matthew's diary and feel it's something that is unlike anything else that has been written about Kubrick, and there's been a lot. So it's definitely a unique, it's a unique book, it's a unique app, and then I think it has all carried over into this audio book, which, you know, the reason we kind of went from the app to the audio book was, as I mentioned, there's just limited market for apps for iPads. I mean, you have basically a big requirement, which is you have to have an iPad to experience this beautiful app. So we heard from a lot of people that just, you know, didn't have iPads, didn't have a smartphone, didn't have a tablet, that they just wanted to have a way to experience Matthew's diary and to maybe listen to it, to have a chance to get access to it. So we felt that the audiobook format would be yet another new way for people to get access, and would still, the other two experiences, the experience of reading a hardcover book and the experience of the app, would still have their place, and it wouldn't replace either of those. It would just be another way to access it.
So went another several months while Adam and a wonderful sound engineer remastered the audio tracks of the iPad app, creating this four-disc set. And Stanley Kubrick's longtime collaborator and assistant, Leon Vitali, who worked with him from Barry Lyndon, The Shining, Full Metal Jacket, Eyes Wide Shut, Leon Vitali wrote a foreword to the booklet that comes with the audio set, as did Stanley Kubrick's daughter, Vivian Kubrick, who did the music for Full Metal Jacket and the documentary about The Shining. So as endorsements, to get an endorsement from Leon Vitali and Vivian Kubrick, it was quite a feather in the audiobook cap.
Exactly.
Well, that was one of my questions, if you were both together for the narration of the audiobook or if you took it from the app. So you've just answered that, so thank you for it.
I of course was present with him while we recorded all of the audio, but we did use the same recording from the app for the audiobook. What we, as Matthew said, did was we felt like this was a chance to revisit it, and much like many filmmakers who keep tinkering with their films, when they have an opportunity.
We re-recorded some and enhanced quite a bit, created a lot of characters. I did more voices in this one than I did in the iPad app. It felt inappropriate somehow in the iPad app to do characterizations. And so we enhanced the characterizations in the audiobook. And it's fun. I've been giving them away as Christmas gifts here. I'm in Los Angeles right now working, and Adam's in New York. And he sent me a dozen of them, and I've been giving them away, and people have been calling me because they drive around in their cars so much in Los Angeles. Everybody's listening to it and just telling me that it's making the drive to and from so much more pleasant and entertaining.
And, you know, that was my initial reason for after I found out that it was on Kickstarter and I donated – for donating the amount I did to be able to get that set for my husband for Christmas. Unfortunately, now he gets an unwrapped gift because I did listen to the CDs. But I don't think he'll mind, but it was so fascinating listening to it. I was so immersed in it that I just didn't want it to end, and it would just all of a sudden stop, and I thought, uh-oh, what happened? And I'd look, and it would be over with, and I'd have to put another disc in. But I felt like I was right in the middle of your life while you filmed the movie and everything that went on outside of the set, and you guys did such a phenomenal job with it. Anybody would be happy to get this.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think what Matthew said about it being a great, companion for a long drive, I think that's what we're hearing from people all over. And again, that's one of the things that people said when they were sort of asking for this, is they wanted to have the ability to listen to this while they were driving, and that's something that certainly an app wouldn't be capable of doing. So the chance to listen to this during a drive, I think, especially during the holidays when people are driving to see their families, I think it's a great and really does make it an extra special gift this holiday season.
Some of the families might have to wait while they're still sitting in their car listening to the end of the CD. So,
right, exactly.
just make sure it's a long drive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's about 3 hours and 40 minutes if you, listen to all four total with all four discs. So, that's a good car trip.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a really long traffic jam in L.A.,
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I was going to ask Matthew, how long did it take to do the narration, and did you feel like you went back in time while you were doing this project?
Yeah, it was weird reading it because, one of the wonderful things about the story is that it's not me today reminiscing about the experience of working with Stanley Kubrick 25 years ago. It's a story written by a young man who is making his first trip to Europe and, to go work with this arguable genius. And it's kind of like the book, The Heart of Darkness, that this kind of, or Gilligan's Island, depending on what you read or what you watch. Gilligan's Island, that it was this 3-hour tour that turns into a lost journey onto an island and wondering how do I ever get off the island of England, and it just goes on and on, and you feel the madness creeping into this character Matthew Modine, and I don't know what it's like for someone else to listen to it, but it was kind of harrowing to go back and read it. But I do feel like it was somebody from a long time ago. And when we considered this audiobook, Adam and I had a long discussion. I wouldn't say it was philosophical, but it was important because I thought maybe it would be better to have a younger, you know, to hire an actor to read the part, so to have that young person's voice, and we decided against it, but because I'm still very boyish, you see, I have a youthful step, so yes, we decided against it, but it's kind of, you know, and I can laugh about it, and as I read it, you know, there were things that I'd remember, the things that I'd forgotten about, and yeah, I mean, it's like when you take out your high school yearbook and you look at the pictures, and mm-hmm. you know, you see how different you are today than you were that young woman that you two might have been in high school, and how the things that you were frightened of, and the fears that you know, the fears that you had, the desires that you wanted, the things that you thought were important, how much those things changed just after a few years out of high school, and then with 10 years, 15 years out of high school, you wonder what all the fuss was about.
Mm-hmm. That's so very true. Mm-hmm. So very true. And that's what you try to pass on to your children and tell them, this too shall pass. You know, just
exactly.
Do what you want to do and be what you want to be and don't even worry about the rest of it. So
exactly.
That's very true. Well, you and Adam work very well together. Are there any other ideas brewing for future apps? And if so, would you use Kickstarter again? It was so successful with these projects.
Yeah, I mean, not for an app at this moment, but Kickstarter, definitely. I've used it for other projects as well, working with animator Bill Plimpton. I've helped him with several film projects using Kickstarter and very likely going to do another one early next year. So, I think Kickstarter is an invaluable tool for any independent kind of artistic project, and you know, the hardest thing is just sort of reaching the audience, your target audience, to sort of get them excited about the project. But ultimately, I think it's a really great tool for raising money and for just building early awareness about something. It's also a marketing tool. It really just starts to get the word out early on in a very positive way. So I think it's something that's going to be around for a while.
We've got some other projects that didn't involve Kickstarter. Adam's been working very closely with a really wonderful Academy Award-nominated director, Bill Plimpton, on a film that they're hoping will get nominated this year, an animated film called Cheatin'. And we're working together with a really wonderful documentary filmmaker, really just helping her because it's her film, called Jen Senko. Her name is Jen Senko, and the film's called The Brainwashing of My Dad. I think that you're probably looking to release that hopefully sometime the end of this coming year in 2015. And
it's a political documentary.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to tell him about Bowman, the boy that is born in Full Metal Jacket Diary.
Yeah,
he's a director now, and he just directed Dick Van Dyke and Valerie Harper, Glenn Headley, in a film called Merry Xmas, we can't give you any good news about it because we're sworn to secrecy, but it just got accepted to a really important film festival. And, and my daughter Ruby, Bowman's little sister, is an extraordinary singer, and you may be following her on Twitter at Ruby mm-hmm. Modine, and you can see see some of the extraordinary songs that she's written and covered, like As Tears Go By, the Rolling Stones song, and she just did a song for Christmas called Smile, that's of course a song written by Charlie Chaplin and made famous by Nat King Cole. beautiful Christmas rendition that Ruby did for everybody to watch and enjoy this Christmas, this holiday season.
Oh, I'll have to go look for that.
I wish I would have known about Ruby's song, because this past Monday I had my two-hour holiday show where I played all Christmas holiday music from indies around the world, and I would have definitely included that one if I would have known.
Oh, that
would
be great, yeah.
But
it's never too late.
Mary
next time you want to get on the phone, you do a story about Ruby. She'd love to talk to you.
Oh, definitely. I'll reach out to her. Definitely. Thank you. I was wondering, since Mary Xmas is starring Dick Van Dyke, and Matthew, you're in it, and you said your son is the director, how did that feel, being directed by your son? I mean, the pride had to be overabundant of pride, you know, filming that.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic for him. I mean, it's wonderful. It was hard. It was hard because I realize that I'm very set in my ways, and I'm kind of stubborn about how to approach something. And he's got a different approach than me. And because he's my son, I thought that he would bend to me. And because I was his father, he thought that I would bend to him. And we suddenly found ourselves at loggerheads and not being able to really communicate with each other. But now we can laugh about it now that the film is finished. But it was hard. My dream is there was a really wonderful film that was made by a young filmmaker named John Huston, and he cast his father in the movie's called Treasure of the Sierra Madre. And Walter Huston, he told his son when he saw the movie, he said, "Well, son, maybe you get it right the next time." He didn't think much of the movie, and I don't think he thought much of his performance. And the film, of course, won the best screenplay, best film, and Walter Huston won the best supporting actor. So, in the back of my mind, that's the thing that I dream for my son and I, is to have that kind of experience where we can go off and make a film together, and he'll get a performance out of me that nobody else has ever been able to squeeze out.
That would be so awesome to see. Gosh, you must tell us the minute that happens that you guys work together to get that out. And also, you know, the new films that are coming out that you guys are working on. Are there any other projects that you can tell us about that I saw on IMDb that you're working on?
Well, there's a feature film called The Rocking Horseman. Unfortunately, we were trying to get it made the end of this year, and we had to move till the spring because I'm starting a show with a good friend named Jennifer Beals, a wonderful actor. We'll start filming in January. It's a series called Proof, and in the show, it's not the Broadway play Proof, but this is a story about a billionaire. That's what I'm playing, a billionaire. And he wants to know what happens when we die. He doesn't care if it's nothing or if it's something, but he wants someone to scientifically prove what happens when we die. And if you can prove that, he'll give you all his billions.
Wow, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's
definitely.
So when we finish that up, we'll get busy making Rocking Horseman this late spring this year. It's a wonderful film about five kids who make a rock and roll band in 1962. And the cast that's set right now is Riley Griffith from Super 8, Jared Gilman from Moonrise Kingdom, Joey King, who's been in a dozen different movies. She's a really wonderful young actress. Who am I leaving out? Isaac White from The Butler. And it's a wonderful cast. And Jennifer Beals, she was going to do me a favor and play an important part in the film.
Well, I love movies about music, so that's another one that I would definitely watch. Will you be singing anytime soon?
only in the shower. Only in the shower.
Well, I thought I'd try. We'll have to get somebody to film you on an iPhone or something. You got to watch out for those things these days. So, but we want to thank you both again for joining us today. We had so much fun speaking with you. And when I let you go, I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody how to get the full Metal Jacket Diary audiobook and so forth. But we both wish you very happy holidays and a blessed new year.
Oh, thank you very much. And you too.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank
Sabina,
you.
You wanted to say?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yes, I wanted to say thank you again, and it was nice talking with you both, Adam and Matthew, and you all have a very Merry Christmas, and I'm definitely going to go check out Ruby's other song. I have heard her sing the first one you mentioned, and she is phenomenal.
As Tears Go By or Smile?
Yeah, 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 As Tears Go By.
Check out Red Sunset.
Okay. I'll check
beautiful.
It out, and I'll tweet you both.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
All
thanks
right,
so much.
You guys take care. You're welcome.
Have a great night. Holiday. Thank you.
Thank
bye.
You. Take care. Bye. Okay, for our listeners, we have the information. Let's see, the audio book is available now on beaconaudiobooks.com, and it was narrated by Matthew, as you heard, and produced by Adam. Or you can also, of course, get the iPad app. But I definitely recommend doing one or the other, especially if you're a fan of Full Metal Jacket, a fan of Stanley Kubrick, a fan of Matthew Modine, or any of the above, or you just like to listen to audiobooks, because it's well worth it. And as I said, I got this as a gift for my husband, and I fell in love with it. So I'm a new fan, and will continue to be one. Sabina, definitely recommend you getting that.
Yeah.
You have an iPad, don't you?
No, I don't have an iPad. I have an iPod and an iPhone.
Oh,
not an iPad.
Okay. I knew there was eyes in there.
No, I'm kind of kicking myself now, wishing I had an iPad. And actually, I was curious to know if I could even use my iPod, but they made it. They answered that question, and no, I would have had to. I would have to have an iPad, which I do want to get, but I'll just get the actual audio book CDs.
Yeah,
I'll
you'll enjoy it. Especially after watching the movie so recently, you'll really
mm-hmm.
enjoy listening to those CDs, and it's very well made. I love the booklet that comes along with it. Also, for our listeners, go to fullmetaljacketdiary.com, and you can check out information there as well. You can follow Matthew on Twitter at Matthew Modine. Adam is at Adam Rackoff, and it's R-A-C-K-O-F-F. Also, you can follow Full Metal Jacket Diary at FMJ Diary. So, and they, of course, all have websites and stuff, so you can check that out as well. If you forget anything that I said, you know, this interview is available as a podcast after the fact, after it's over, and you can listen to it at any time. I also post everything to my website, which is take2radio.com, and that's with the number 2. You'll see the previous interviews that we've done, anything that we have upcoming. Of course, this year, this was our final interview for the year, and we will be on holiday break until January, so be sure to follow us on Twitter at Take2Radio to, you know, find out when we'll be back. I don't have an exact date yet because I may have to have knee surgery, and I don't want to have that. But you can find out there. You can find out on the Facebook page. You can find out on the website and, you know, pretty much anywhere. I try to get it out all over the place. And also to all of our listeners and guests that we've had here at Take Two Radio, we wish you all a very happy holiday, a very blessed new year, and we thank you for being part of our show, and we will see you again next year. Sabina and David, I know you're listening, who's my other co-host. I want to thank you guys for the journey that we've been through this year and being with me and being so supportive and everything that you guys do behind the scenes, I really appreciate it. And I hope our next year is even a bigger year yet.
Yes, yes, same to you. And it's been a ride, and an awesome ride at that. So it's been a blast.
Thank you. And David, I brought you on live if you want to say anything.
Hi.
Hi. I didn't.
That's all you want to say?
I'd like to wish our listeners a very happy holiday. Be safe and enjoy yourselves.
Awesome. And thanks again to Adam Rakoff and Matthew Modine for joining us tonight. It was a blast, and we wish you all the best. We look forward to all your projects that you have coming up. And take care, everybody. We'll see you again next year, which is not too far away. Hope you got your Christmas shopping done. Take care, everybody. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Bye.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit Take2Radio.com.